know this year, Tisha B'Av, as it seems right now, is supposed to be Chal Lihiyos B'Shabbos. The 9th of Av is going to fall out on Shabbos, and as we know, we are going to observe it on Sunday. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the halachos, a little bit about what we are to expect for this coming Shabbos and this coming Sunday. We begin with a Gemara in Maseches Tainis Daf Chavtes, where the Gemara tells us the story of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, and we're told that the way it played out was B'Tisha B'Av Charev Habayis Barishona. The first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, and then B'Shiva Nichnasu Nacharim LaHeichal. What happened was on the seventh day of Av is when all of the Heichal was taken over by the non-Jews. Va'achlu V'Kilkulu Bo Shvi'i U'Shmini. And they were rejoicing, they were celebrating in there on the seventh and the eighth day of the Av. Utashi Samach Lechashecha Hitzisu Bo Es Ha'ur. On the ninth day, as the day was coming to a close, that's when they began to light the Beis Hamikdash on fire, to destroy it. V'hayadolek v'holech kol hayom kulo shenemar oylanu ki pana hayom ki natu tzilu le'arev. V'hayinu d'amir Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, Ulmalei hayisi ba'osa hadar. If I was there at the time when they decided to institute Tisha B'Av as a commemoration for the Churban, lo kivativ ela ba'asiri, I would have said that we should observe it on Yud B'Av, not on Tisha B'Av. Why? Because really most of the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed on Yud B'Av, and it only started on Tisha B'Av. Mipnei sheruba shel heichal nisraf bo v'rabbanan. And why is it that we have the practice to observe it on Tisha B'Av? Why shouldn't we actually have it on Yud if that's when most of the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed? Answers the Gemara, Aschalta de Peranusa Adifa. It is significant that everything started on the ninth day of Av, and because that's when everything started, that's when the Churban began, so that is the day that we make a commemoration for the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Now, although that is true, the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah that if Tisha B'Av is Chal Lios B'Shabbos, if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos as it does this year, so the Gemara tells us the rule is Ma'acharin V'lo Makdimin. We're going to push it off to Sunday. We're not going to push it up to Friday. Ask the Gemara, why is that the case? Why don't we push it up to Friday instead? And the Gemara answers, Akdume Purunusa Lo Makdiminon. We don't try, we're not so eager to mark something negative. So therefore, if we have the option either to do it earlier or later, we'd rather give ourselves the later date. We'd rather do it on Sunday because we're not so excited about observing the day of Tisha B'Av. And this is clearly brought in Shulchan Aruch without any disagreement at all. The Rambam and the Mechaber both quote this halacha as well, that we see over here. I'm sorry, I forgot to put it on, but Kol Arba Hatzomos Halalu, all four, Shivasa B'Tamuz, Tisha B'Av, Asara B'Teves, and Som Gedalia, we assume for all them, Im Chalulios B'Shabbos Nidchin La'achara Shabbos. The Mechaber writes very clearly that if any of these fall out on Shabbos, we would push it off to Sunday. So the Minchas Chinuch has a very famous question in Mitzvah Shin Aleph, where he asks a very beautiful question, and that is, we all know that the Mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos is the reason why if a tainus falls out on Shabbos, we will not fast. Because how can you be fasting on Shabbos? You have a mitzvah to eat, you have the mitzvah to be enjoying the Shabbos, so it's not very enjoyable to observe Tisha B'Av on Shabbos. So that's the halacha, that's why we don't observe it on Shabbos, and we push it off to Sunday, like the Gemara says, Me'acharin v'lo makdimin. However, ask the Minchas Chinuch, let's try and understand why that should be the case. After all, what is my obligation? What's the nature of my obligation to have Oneg Shabbos? Where does that come from? We all know it comes from the Pasuk in Yeshaya. That is a Pasuk Midivrei Kabbalah, where Yeshayo Hanavi taught us V'karasa L'Shabbos Oneg. So we have Midivrei Kabbalah, we have an obligation to observe the laws of Oneg Shabbos. Midivrei Kabbalah, we also have an obligation, the Pasuk in Zechariah, like the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches, we have an obligation, Midivrei Kabbalah, it's on the same level that obligates us to observe Tisha B'Av, Asara B'Teves, Tzom Gedalia, and Shabbos B'Tamuz. So ask the Minchas Chinuch, now that we have the two of these mitzvahs colliding, we have on the one hand the mitzvah Midivrei Kabbalah to fast, and on the other hand the mitzvah Midivrei Kabbalah to observe Oneg Shabbos, why would you say that the fast is pushed aside? I would have said, Sheva Al Taseh Adif. I would have said, just don't do anything, which means you should fast, and don't observe the laws of Oneg Shabbos. Ask the Minchas Chinuch, how did we come up with this idea that we should push off the fast instead of actually observing it on a Shabbos? And it's such an obvious question. The Minchas Chinuch is basically asking on the whole premise of the Gemara, why does the Gemara assume this to be such a davar pashut, that when it comes to Shabbos, we would immediately push off the tainus and we would say, we cannot observe it on Shabbos, why not? Why wouldn't we? So that's a very good question. So obviously, there are some very simple answers you can say. An answer you can say is that Shabbos is Ikara Menat Torah. Shabbos, at least, we have a concept of Shabbos in the Torah. We have no concept of Tisha B'Av or Shavuos HaBetamuz. So when you have a toss-up between Shabbos and Shavuos HaBetamuz or Tisha B'Av, obviously, Shabbos would win. That's one answer you could have given. Another answer you could have given is, it would have been possible to say that on Shabbos, although it's true, the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos is only Midivrei Kabbalah, that's from Yeshayahu HaNavi. However, we do have a mitzvah, possibly Daraisa of Lecha Mishneh. We do have a mitzvah Daraisa of many other things on Shabbos, so maybe that means that I have an obligation to eat on Shabbos. So therefore, that would be something that would overshadow the din Midivrei Kabbalah of fasting. But that's not what the Minchas Chinuch says. This is where the Minchas Chinuch comes up with his extremely novel and creative approach. Writes the Minchas Chinuch, what is the original pasuk that teaches us about the instruction to have these four commemorative days during the calendaric year? What is the pasuk that teaches us that? So the Navi says, Tzoma Chamishi, Vitzoma Shvi, Vitzoma Asiri, Yil, Lesasana, Lesimcha, Lemadim Tobim. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches says, what is this Tzoma Harvi, Vitzoma Chamishi, what are we talking about? So it says, the Tzom that is going to be in the fourth month, and that which is going to be in the fifth month. What are those? Shavuos HaBetamuz and Tisha B'Av. Says the Minchas Chinuch, obviously from the way the Navi describes these days, he doesn't say the ninth day of Av, and he doesn't say the 17th day of Tammuz. All he said was, in the month of Tammuz and in the month of Av, in Tzom HaChamishi v'Tzom HaShvi, on those months you're supposed to have a fast day at some point throughout the day, throughout the 30 days of the month. Says the Minchas Chinuch, therefore, since the Divrei Kabbalah never pinpointed it to a particular day in the month, therefore we have a right to say that when it comes to a toss-up between Shabbos and whether or not we should be fasting on that given day of Tisha B'Av, we would say Tisha B'Av is going to be pushed aside, because whoever said in the first place that Tisha B'Av is supposed to be observed on the ninth day of Av, maybe it's only supposed to be observed a different day in the month of Av altogether. So that's the novel approach of the Minchas Chinuch, and it became famous because of the Minchas Chinuch then takes it a step further and he says, maybe this is why the Abu Dram writes, when it comes to Asar B'Teves, that even if Asar B'Teves falls out on Shabbos, we would observe it on Shabbos. And everybody's bothered, how could it be? Why would you observe Asar B'Teves on Shabbos when you wouldn't observe any other fast day on Shabbos? And the answer is, because there, the Navi says, the Navi says explicitly, Tzom HaAsiri, on the 10th day, Asar B'Teves. So therefore, that's where the Minchas Chinuch comes up with this idea. Anyway, it's important to note that if you have a Cholet, and I'd like to point out anyone whose wives or children or daughters-in-law who might be mu'ubaros u'meinikos. I asked my father once again today, and I am absolutely certain that a couple of years ago when I asked him, he said the total opposite. How do I know this is true? Because my wife was due the week of Tisha B'Av, and I asked him then, it was a Tisha B'Av nidcha like this year, and I asked him, what should she do? And he said, why wouldn't she fast? What's the problem? And she did, and she did not go into labor. I think she was a week and a half past Tisha B'Av, and that's when she had the baby. But anyway, that was the story when I asked him a couple of years ago. This year when I asked him, today, so he said that, no, Rabbi Kiva Eger is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah where he says, even the Chatchila, Mu'ubaros u'meinikos have a right to not to fast on Tisha B'Av when it's a Tisha B'Av nidche. And he said the following idea to explain that. He said, on a general fast, we assume that a chola she'ein bo sakana, it doesn't have to be a life-threatening illness. If you have a chola she'ein bo sakana, then we assume that that person does not have an obligation to fast, because all of these fasts are only midrabbanan. However, generally we would say that a mu'uberes, a woman who's pregnant, doesn't generally fall under that category. Generally we say a woman who's pregnant, it depends, case-by-case basis, you have to figure out, is she really a chola she'ein bo sakana, or perhaps is she not? That's the question. So over here, he said that when it comes to a Tisha B'Av shenidche, we assume that since it's going to be on Sunday, the woman who's a mu'uberes u'meinikos don't even have to prove that they're a chol Hashem sakana. Off the bat, we have a right to be mekel and to say that they can assume that they have a right to eat. So that's what he told me today, and I just wanted to make that clear because I remember a very different psak that he gave the last time around, so this is what he feels this time. So if you are one of those people who is a cholet she'ein bo sakana and is going to eat on Tisha B'Av, there was somebody, Rabbi Leibowitz, was talking to me today about this, and he said that there was a Rav who was very uncomfortable with this psak, and he said, no, the Mubaros and Meniko should try to fast, and if they have to break it, they break it. And I called my father back just to make sure that I understood him correctly, and he said, no, lechatchila, they don't even have to start the fast at all, which is what Rabbi Kiva Eger is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah. He writes that at Tisha B'Av Shenidcha, you don't have to worry at all, and even the chatchila, they have a right to eat. So if you're one of those people who is going to be eating this year on Tisha B'Av for whatever reason, it is important that since Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, and we observe it on Sunday, you have to make sure that you recite Havdalah before eating. As we know, there is always a prohibition, any Shabbos, there is a prohibition to eat before making Havdalah once Shabbos is over. So the same applies this week, that you have to make sure that those in the family who are going to eat have to make Havdalah. Now, there's a major question that the Maral Diskin raises, and that is, what if you have a child who's going to eat? So does the child also have to make Havdalah? So that's a major discussion. Would we say that a child is only chayiv mitam chinuch? Does he have to make Havdalah if he's going to eat also? Or do you say, no, let him wait till Sunday night when the rest of us make Havdalah? So that's a big question that he discusses, but I did see that this Stipler and many others write, the Chazon Ish, I think, writes the same thing, that a child does not have to go out of their way to make Havdalah on this weekend. We can assume that the child will be Yotzi with the rest of us on Sunday night. But an adult who wants to eat on Tisha B'Av and has a right to eat on Tisha B'Av has to make sure that Havdalah is recited before they go ahead and they eat. In general, there's a four-way machlokas harishonim about those who are not going to fast. There are four opinions in the Rishonim when exactly they should be making Havdalah. That is a good question. I'm sorry. No, not those who are not fasting. Those who are fasting. The rest of us who are healthy enough to fast, the question is, when should Havdalah be made? And this is a very fascinating point. So the Bahag and the Rush are of the opinion, and this is the predominant opinion. This is the one that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. They say, you make Havdalah on Sunday night. Make Havdalah on Sunday night. Explains the Mishkanos Yaakov that the reason why you make it on Sunday night is because we give you a makeup date. You weren't able to do it on Matzah Shabbos, so we tell you, you can make it up on Sunday night, and that's what we do. The Ramban in the Torah Sa'adam writes, and this is not only his opinion, but the Ritva writes the same thing in Maseches Tainis. He says, in a year like this, Eino Mavdil Klal. You don't make Havdalah at all. Why? Because you can't make Havdalah Matzah Shabbos because you can't drink the wine. So that means you're an anus. It means you're not obligated to do it at all. And therefore he says, Kivin de idchi, idchi le gamri. And this is what the Rashba writes as well in the Tshuva. This year, don't make Havdalah at all because you have a good excuse. You have a valid excuse not to make it. The Divrei Kabbalah itself is telling you not to make it. And therefore they say, no reason to do it tashlumen later. You were pater, you were an anus. And there's no reason to have Havdalah made on Sunday night either. Obviously we don't follow that opinion. But it is the opinion of some of the very important Rishonim. The Meiri writes in the name of some Rishonim as well, that he thinks the answer is you should make Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos as usual, and you should give the wine to a child to drink. Now ask the Meiri, isn't that a problem? Don't we know? The Gemara says in Maseches Erev in Daf Mem, that when you have Yom Kippur, and you come to Shul, and we all want to make a Shechiyanu on Leil Yom Kippur, so obviously we know if you make a Shechiyanu a la kos, if you make a Shechiyanu with a cup of wine, it enhances the Shechiyanu. So ask the Gemara Maseches Erev in Daf Mem on Yom Kippur night, when we make a Shechiyanu in Shul, why don't we also do it over a cup of wine and give the cup of wine to a child to drink? Obviously the child is not going to fast on Yom Kippur, so give the child to drink on Yom Kippur night. Says the Gemara, no, that's not a good idea. Why? Shema Asi Lemisrach, says the Gemara. Maybe next year the child is going to remember that, or when he becomes an adult, he's going to remember, I came to Shul on Yom Kippur night and I sat there and I drank a cup of wine. And he's going to think that's what you're supposed to do. He's not going to realize we only had him there because he was a child. He was designated to drink the wine because he was the only one who was able to drink. He might misinterpret the whole thing. He's going to make a mistake when it really counts when he's an adult. And therefore we're concerned. And the Gemara says you cannot give the wine to a child. So ask the Meiri, why aren't we concerned over here as well? If by Yom Kippur the Gemara says you're not allowed to give it to a child because we're concerned maybe when he gets older he's going to make a mistake, why don't we have the same concern here as well? Why don't we say you're not allowed to give the wine of Havdalah Matzah Shabbos this week to a Tinok? For those Rishonim who believe that, we should do that. Why do we say that that's acceptable if maybe we should be concerned that next year on Tisha B'Av he's also going to do the same thing? So, what? Oh, so answer. He answers that, look, this doesn't happen every year. If we're going to start going on Yom Kippur and every year Yom Kippur we're going to do the same thing, so then the child's going to say, hey, every year on Yom Kippur this is what I did. But it doesn't always turn out that Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, and therefore, writes the Meiri, you have nothing to be concerned about, and therefore we don't have to worry at all. Other Rishonim said the answer is that Yom Kippur is an Isser Kares, so the child is not going to make a mistake when he becomes an adult. And Tisha B'Av is just an Isser Derabbanan, it's Midivrei Kabbalah, so therefore, even if he makes a mistake later on, all he did was violate an Isser Derabbanan. he's not violating an Isser Karis. And the Ramban finds that very troubling. What do you mean? An Isser Darabana we don't take seriously, we take it very seriously. So this is a major discussion in the Rishonim, what exactly you should do. But the final opinion that is quoted is the opinion of the Meiri. And this is an interesting one, because my father, when we were learning Hilchos Avelos with my father in Shir, so my father told us the following story. My mother's father passed away on a Shabbos afternoon. And my father was in the hospital with a number of the siblings. My father was a son-in-law, but a number of the children were actually there. And they asked my father on Shabbos afternoon, what do we do about Havdalah? Because tonight, immediately after Shabbos is over, we become Onanim. And they were planning on flying to Eretz Yisrael. So you're not going to be able to make Havdalah until after the Kvur, which could be Sunday night, Monday. I don't know exactly when it was supposed to be. So their question was, what do we do about Havdalah? So my father said he had no Svarim with him in the hospital. And he wasn't a practicing rabbi at the time, so he never really was asked the shaila. So he said that he wasn't sure, but he said he thinks that they should rely on the psak that is quoted in Shulchan Aruch in a different case. So the Shulchan Aruch says, let's say you have a person who has to go for whatever reason. Immediately after Shabbos is over, I have a business meeting, I have to go somewhere, I'm not available, I have to do a mitzvah. Something's happening, I don't have the time to wait around until after Shabbos is over. I won't be able to make Havdalah. Writes the Shulchan Aruch, if it's a real legitimate shasat chak, so once Plaga Mincha comes, you're allowed to make Havdalah on Shabbos afternoon. That's the psak that's given in Shulchan Aruch. Once Shabbos afternoon, Plaga Mincha comes, you're allowed to make Havdalah if you have a serious Shasat Chak and you have to leave right after Shabbos is over. So my father thought, Ein lecha Shasat Chak gadol mizeh. Once Shabbos is over, we're not going to have the ability to make Havdalah because now we're going to be putter from mitzvahs. So my father thought that they should make Havdalah on Shabbos afternoon, in order that, this way, they won't have to wait until Monday to make Havdalah after the Kvur is done. That's what he thought. Then he said he went after Shabbos to look it up. That's what they did. What? The laws of Aninus kick in only after Shabbos. On Shabbos, we assume they do everything normally. When? On Shabbos? You can't.
No, I'm saying it's just right?
Yeah. So the question is, so he said after Shabbos he went to look it up. Now that Shabbos was over, he went to look up the Shaila. And he said that he noticed that the Achronim who discussed the Shaila about an Onan and what to do not quote this Eitzah. They don't quote this idea. So he was very surprised. So he did find that the Svardish Achronim say such a thing. The Svardim do give such a suggestion that that's what you should do. My father still felt in his heart that that is the right thing to do, even though many Achronim do not say that, but he felt it was the right thing to do, and I was pleased to see, I showed him that the Meiri writes in this discussion about Tisha B'Av, that's what the Meiri writes. He says, Ein lecha shasat chag gadol mizeh. Says the Meiri, if you're going to wait around until after Shabbos is over, then Tisha B'Av is going to kick in, then I can't make Havdalah, so what should I do? I'm an anus. So says the Meiri, best thing to do is to make Havdalah on Shabbos afternoon. But then writes the Meiri, I'm not so convinced. Why? I'm a little concerned that once you make Havdalah, maybe that's an automatic Kabbalah Satinus. Just by making Havdalah, maybe it's an automatic Kabbalah Satinus. And he says, once you do that, maybe we have to be concerned that people are going to still eat, because they're going to see that it's light outside. But they already made Havdalah, so they don't really have a right to eat anymore. And therefore, says the Meiri, it's going to confuse people too much, so let's forget about this idea. And that's why in Shulchan Aruch, the psak that we have for this week is, we make Havdalah on Sunday evening after Tisha B'Av is over, and that is when everyone is yotzei the mitzvah of Havdalah, and in fact the Achronim say you should do it with wine. There's nothing to be concerned about, because this year it's a Tisha B'Av Shenidcheh, so we'll get back to that a little bit later. As we mentioned, if you're a person who's going to have to eat on Tisha B'Av, you have to make sure that you make Havdalah before you eat. So either that means you make Havdalah on Matzoi Shabbos, if you know from the outset that you're going to eat, or it means that you make Havdalah on Sunday at some point, whenever you're planning to eat. That's something that has to be taken care of. What about the strange phenomenon that we have this year of the Suda HaMafsekes? So as we know, every year before Tisha B'Av, we have a very unusual Suda that we put together. So the question is, what do we do on Shabbos when we observe Tisha B'Av on Sunday, because this year Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos? So how exactly do we deal with it? So you look in the Mishnah Maseches Tainis. This is also quoted in the Gemara in Erevin, where it says very clearly, when you have Tisha B'Av that falls out on Shabbos, says the Gemara, in a case like that, Ochel v'shoseh kol tzorcho, even though Shabbos really is technically Tisha B'Av, it says that you eat and you drink, and there's no reason to abstain, there's no reason to hold back at all. And we're told, umala al shulchanu afilu kisuda shlomo b'shaito. You're allowed to even serve a feast. You're allowed to serve whatever you want at the table, and there's no reason to hold back at all. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes in number Beis here. Imchal Tisha B'av be'echa b'Shabbos, hashachal b'Shabbos v'nidcha la'achara Shabbos. If Tisha B'av falls out on Shabbos or on Sunday, which means that we're going to observe Tisha B'av on Sunday, either way. So he says, Ochal basar v'shos ha'yayim b'sudam afsekes, you're allowed to eat whatever it is that you'd like to eat, and you don't have to abstain at all over Shabbos. U'mala al shulchanu afilu kesuda shloma be'es malchuso. Now, says the Mishnah Brura, that even when you have shalashudas, writes the Mishnah Brura, even at shalashudas, you should go and you should eat and you should enjoy. Number Gimel, he says, asur l'mnoa mimenu. He says, don't hold back from eating meat. Why? Because afa gav dein chiyuv lecha basar b'Shabbos, even though you don't really have an obligation to eat basar on Shabbos, you have an obligation to eat meat on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah Berurah, this week, you have to make sure to eat meat on Shabbos. Why? Because we don't want anyone to think that I'm acting in a way of the way that Avelim act on Shabbos. And therefore he says, we should eat as we normally do, and we have no reason to hold back. Now, however, writes the Mishnah Berurah, in the name of the Magen Avram, you shouldn't have a big celebration. You should be in some kind of somber mood. And he says, you should eat yeshev bedavo nefesh. You should understand the gravity of the moment. You should understand that we're about to usher ourselves into Tisha B'av. And he says, some achronim say, maybe you shouldn't have extra guests for Shalosh Shudas this week. So you're allowed to eat whatever you want, but maybe we should try our best just to limit it a little bit in the atmosphere that we create on Shabbos afternoon. But in general, we assume that there is no problem at all this Shabbos to eat as we generally would, even if it means eating meat and drinking wine. There's no problem at all. What we do have to be careful about is that on a regular Shabbos, we have a din of Tosefes Shabbos, which means even if Shalosh Shudas goes way after Shkia, we have a right to continue to eat because we didn't bench yet. It means Shabbos is still going. But this week, once the Shkia comes, it means that it's already officially Tisha B'av. So we have to be careful to bench and not to eat anything more before the Shkia. There is somebody who asked me a question that he davens at Hashkama, so he said he has his meal early in the morning on every Shabbos, and he has his afternoon, he has his Shalosh Shudas after the 2 o'clock mincha that we have here on Shabbos afternoon. So he wants to know, once he ate Shalosh Shudas already at 2 o'clock, does he have a right to eat at 5 or 6 o'clock, or is that, once he ate Shalosh Shudas, you're finished? So obviously the answer is, you can eat as much as you want. It's no problem at all, and you don't have to make any t'nai, there's no reason to do anything particular this week. We assume you have a right to eat until the Shkia. But once the Shkia comes, a person has to be careful not to. In a regular year, when Tisha B'Av is on a regular day of the year, so we assume, on a regular day of the week, I should say, so we assume that there's a discussion whether or not you're allowed to learn Torah on Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. This is a big machlokas between the Chumash HaDeshen and the Maharshal. So the Chumash HaDeshen, who is the Rebbe of the Rama, believes that you're not allowed to learn Torah on Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos, unless it's the kind of topics that you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av itself. And the Maharshal says, what are you talking about? Who made up such an Aveira? Who made up such an Isser? Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos is just another day of the 9 days. What does it have to do with Tisha B'Av itself? The only Isser to learn Torah is on Tisha B'Av. There's no Isser to learn Torah on Erev Tisha B'Av, and therefore, he gets into this disagreement with the Chumash HaDeshen. So that's an interesting story. Why actually is there a problem? So the Chasam Sofer raises the issue, and the Chasam Sofer says, in my opinion, I think the reason why we prohibit learning on a regular year, on Shabbos, on a afternoon, right before Tisha B'Av, the reason why is as follows, says the Chasam Sofer, because we all know that when a person learns Torah, you don't just sit down and learn and then you go home. After you finish learning, the Chasam Sofer holds us all to a very high standard. He said, after you finish learning, you go to the Daf Yomi Shir in the morning, you're thinking Zvachim your whole day. Mamish the whole day. You're thinking about the Mizbeach, you're thinking Kachim Kalim, and you're wondering about the Shvera Gemara that you learned this morning, and why did the Magid Shir not explain this well and that well, and you're busy worrying about the Sugya all day long, says the Chasam Sofer. And therefore, he says, we have a concern if you're going to have a regular learning Seder in the afternoon after Chatzos on Erev Tisha B'Av, once Tisha B'Av night comes around, you're still going to be worrying about the thing that you learned in the afternoon. It's amazing. I wish I had this problem. So that's what the Chasam Sofer writes. That's why we're concerned, and that's where the whole idea came from, that we don't learn on Tisha B'Av in the afternoon. It gives you a perspective of how the Chasam Sofer felt we should all be learning. That after you finish learning, you shouldn't just go home, but you should think about it a little bit more, and it should be on your mind the whole day. So therefore, writes the Chasam Sofer, this is where this idea came from, that the Chumash HaDeshen quotes, that we do not learn on Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos, unless it's one of those areas of study that you're allowed to study on Tisha B'Av itself. Says the Rama, number Dalid, On a regular year, we do not learn on Erev Tisha B'Av once Chatzos has come. We only learn those things that you would be allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. Now, the Mishnah Berurah goes a little bit crazy here, and he says, I don't agree at all with the Psak of the Ramah, with the Schiddush of the Trumas Hadeshin, and he quotes from the Vilna Gaon, and he quotes from so many others that they have a major problem with this Psak of the Ramah. The Vilna Gaon said, it's Bittul Torah. How can we tell people not to learn? How can you say that they shouldn't learn anything? Then they're just going to go and waste their day. They're not going to do a thing. So he says, this is a bad idea. And then the question goes a little bit further. And the question is, well, what about this year? Even if in a normal year we would say that a person should not learn Torah on Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos because it's too close to Tisha B'Av, what about an hour year? What about an hour scenario? So the Ramah goes a little bit further and he says, if you look at number Dalet, V'lachein, imchal b'Shabbos, if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, ein omer Pirkei Avos, even though we have a Seder where we learn Pirkei Avos Shabbos afternoon, halavai we all did, but it says the Ramah, that's what we're supposed to do. So when you have Tisha B'Av, chalias b'Shabbos, like this year, you don't say Pirkei Avos in the afternoon because that's not something that you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. Now, the Bir Alach and the Mishnah Berurah writes that he thinks that this is very problematic. V'zeh loshen amaymer Mordechai, he quotes an early Achronim, that they say, Harazu tamuahi. How can the Ramah say such a thing? How can you tell me that this year you're not allowed to learn Pirkei Avos on Shabbos afternoon after Chatzos? How can that be? He says the Achronim have major problems with this, and he goes on and on and on to explain why he doesn't like this at all. And then he writes, Ve'einenu haroz. I had a number of people in the community who called me this week and asked that they have all kinds of shiurim in people's homes that move around, where we have the Daf Yomi shiur here Shabbos afternoon. So they asked, what should we do this week? So I said, look, what is the alternative? What's everyone going to be doing otherwise if we don't have a shiur? So it depends what kind of people you are. If you're going to sit down and actually learn Hilchos Tisha B'Av, and you're going to sit down and learn Moed Katan and Hilchos Avelus, so of course, so don't have the shiur and go learn Hilchos Avelus. But I would venture to say 99% of the people who are supposed to be going to the shiur and are told this week not to go because it's Erev Tisha B'Av and therefore we shouldn't learn after Chatzos, this is something that I think is going to cause a major factor of Bittul Torah, and therefore writes the Mishnah Berurah as follows. Number one, he says, Ein Adam Lomid Ela Mashal Ibo Chafetz. If you're going to tell me on Shabbos afternoon this week I have to learn only limited amount of areas of study that I'm allowed to learn, says the Mishnah Berurah, come on, really? You believe people are really going to do that? Ein Adam Lomid Ela B'Makom Shal Ibo Chafetz. I want to learn things that I want to learn. I'm not interested in learning Hilchos Tisha B'Av, Hilchos Avelus. It doesn't interest me. And number two, he says, Einenu Haroz. We all know Dekama Tamidei Chachamim Misrashlim B'Limud HaMutar B'Yom Tisha B'Av Mishum Detzarhu Lahem Lilmud B'Mashayin Regilim. He says, we know, even great Tamidei Chachamim, they don't learn on Tisha B'Av the way they're supposed to learn. So he says, why would we extend the Isser even further? Why would we say that even on Erev Tisha B'Av you're not allowed to learn? V'gam Ani B'Av Anosein HaRabim Ka'achad Mehem V'Lachein, he says, it's not a good idea. He says, we should allow everybody to learn on Erev Tisha B'Av, and don't start making these chumras, don't start telling people not to. Bifrat, he writes, that we know in our generation that people on Erev Tisha B'Av go on walks, they go to the boardwalk, they go wherever they want to go, and they do all kinds of things. He says they're already so out of the spirit of what Tisha B'Av is supposed to be in Erev Tisha B'Av, so he says let them at least be learning something that they're not supposed to learn instead of going and being metailim, b'shvakim. He says that's a bad idea. So I saw a story in the Sefer Pardes Yosef on Chumash. He has a story from the Beis Halevi, that apparently a maskil, the Beis Halevi, had to deal with a lot of maskilim in his generation, and those are the best stories, always. So the Beis Halevi had, one of the maskilim came to talk to him, and he said, you know, we have a problem. We're all the maskilim back then, not all, but many of the maskilim were learned people. They went to yeshiva, and then they went off later on. So the maskil came over to the Beis Halevi, and he said, you know, I have a problem. I see all these new svarim are coming out, and every single sefer tries to outdo the other one with all the chumras, and everybody has so many chumras, and every new sefer that comes out in halacha. So I heard you're printing a sefer, Reb Beis Halevi. I'd like to know, which chumas are you going to come up with? Any kulas? You have something nice to share with us? Anything that we can actually do in our lives that's going to be a little bit more lahakil? So the Beis Halevi said, yes, I have 7 kulas in my svarim. If you look through carefully, you'll find 7 different kulas. And he quoted the pasuk in Koheles, Tein chelek l'shiva. I feel that I have a chelek in giving 7 kulas. What are the 7 kulas? So the Beis Halevi went on to explain all 7 of his kulas. Number one, he said, some have a chumrah that you're not allowed to daven ma'ariv past chatzos at night. And I say that you're allowed to be mekel, you're allowed to daven the whole night. That's kula number one. Which obviously is a chumru. It means you have to daven even after chatzos. Number two, he says, some say that tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam is only allowed to be worn by big chassidim v'anshei ma'isa. And I hold that no, every individual, even the simple person, even the simple Jew, is also allowed to wear tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam. And it's not considered yuhara. It's not considered showing off if you buy tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam. That's considered to be something that every Jew has the right to do. Number three, he said, some have the chumrah that they don't say piyutim in the middle of davening because they're afraid of a hefsik. I say you can be mekel, you're allowed to say it even in the middle of davening, and it's not a hefsik, which obviously is a chumrah as well. Number four, he says, some have a chumrah that after they miss one night of Sfiras HaOmer, they don't continue to count with a bracha. He says, I hold you should continue to count with a bracha because we really hold Meikir Adin, that's the halacha. But we're just machmir and shulchan aruch for the Bahag Shita, but he says, I feel you should continue. Number six, he says, some have the minag not to fast on Rosh Hashanah, because they say it's a Yom Simcha. But he says, I hold you can be mekel, you have a right to fast on Rosh Hashanah. You don't have to be concerned about Simchas Yamtiv. Number seven, he says, Yesh Machmirim, some have the Chumrah. The Torah quotes that there were those who used to fast 2 days of Yom Kippur. And he says, I hold that you have a right to be mekel. You're allowed to fast 2 days on Yom Kippur. You don't have to be concerned that there's something wrong with doing that. The Torah writes, maybe it's Yuhara, maybe it's showing off. You're going to fast 2 days, Sveka de Yoma. So he says, I'm not concerned about the showing off. I think people have a right to fast 2 days from Kippur. And finally he said, my last chumrah is, I think that you're allowed to learn Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos, and you don't have to be machmer for the chumrah of the Trumas Hadesh and the Ramah. Those are the seven chumrahs that the Beis HaLevi came up with in his Sefer. So the Mishnah Berurah writes over here as well, somebody who learns on Tisha B'Av, Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos, and someone who learns this Shabbos, Lohifsit, says the Mishnah Berurah, obviously it's a major discussion in the Acharonim, but he says it is not something that you have that you have to be so concerned about, especially if you're uncomfortable learning Hilchos Avelos, you have every right to learn whatever you would normally learn. There is a major discussion when we talk about Tisha B'Av Shechalias B'Shabbos that all of the Acharonim discuss, and that is, what is the nature of the fast this year? Do we assume that when we observe Tisha B'Av on Sunday, that's considered to be a Tashlumin? So the real day of Tisha B'Av is Shabbos. But because it's Shabbos and we can't fast and we can't wear the Tisha B'Av shoes and we can't do all the things that we normally do, so therefore we observe it as a Tashlumin on Sunday. That's just the makeup date. Or do you assume that no, this year, because of the way the calendar falls out, the Chachamim instituted that Tisha B'Av should be observed on Yud B'Av. And the whole nature of the day on Shabbos is like a regular day. Shabbos this week is considered to be a regular Shabbos. There's no element, there's no aspect of Tisha B'Av that lingers at all. So in truth, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, there seems to be a machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah about this very point. And I was asked this question this week as well. A man wanted to know whether or not he has a right to be involved in Tashmish HaMita with his wife on Friday night. So in a normal year on Tisha B'Av, obviously Tashmish HaMita is one of the Chamish Inuyim. Of course, you're not allowed to. Question is, this Shabbos, when we don't really observe Tisha B'Av, we observe it on Sunday, should we assume that Tashmish HaMita is permissible or not? So if you look at number Zion, the Mechaber has a machlokas with the Ramah, and he says as follows, Imchal Tisha B'Av b'Shabbos. If Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, Mutter b'kulan. Shabbos is a regular Shabbos, and we don't observe Tisha B'Av at all this Shabbos. Afilu b'Tashmish HaMita, says the Mechaber, we have a right even to engage in Tashmish HaMita, and there's no concern at all. And the Ramah disagrees, and the Ramah says that Yesh Osrim Tashmish HaMita, Bechein Noagim. So the Ramah says that the minhag is that we're machmir. There are many Rishonim that are mekel, and therefore we feel that unless the Achronim write, unless it's a shasad chak, meaning a person, it's the Leila Tfila, or a person feels they won't be able to hold themselves back, or whatever it might be, a person has difficulty, or some other strange situation, so then we assume that we paskin as Ashkenazim like the Ramah, that Tashmish HaMita should be refrained on this Friday night. Now, what's the crux, what's the basis of that machlokas? So it would seem the Achronim say that what they're arguing about is, does Tisha B'Av remain as Tisha B'Av on Shabbos, and therefore something that's a Dvarim Shebetzina, the same way an Avil is not allowed to have Tashmish HaMita in the middle of Shiva on Friday night, so too we would assume that on Tisha B'Av night this year, since it's Shabbos, we would say Tashmish HaMita is Asur as well, because Tisha B'Av is still Tisha B'Av. Or do you say, no, Sunday is really Tisha B'Av this year? And therefore we assume that on Shabbos there is no observance of Tisha B'Av at all, like the Mechaber says, and there should be no problem at all of Tashmish HaMita either. So this is a big question as to what the nature of Tisha B'Av really is this year, and should we assume that Sunday is just a makeup, or should we assume that Sunday is really the day itself. Before you get to a question, let's just try to bring it out a little bit more clearly. So the Avnei Nezer has a discussion. And this is something that you find in many different areas of halacha seems to come up. When you have a katan shehigdil, so I don't know, the Acharonim for some reason enjoy discussing this shaila very much. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger has an amazing suffix, not here, in Hilchos Birchos Hamazon, it sticks out of my mind because it's so unusual. Akiva Eiger has a suffix, he wants to know, when we say that you're allowed to do Birchos Hamazon up to 72 minutes after you eat a meal, what's the reason why you're allowed to bench up to 72 minutes after a meal? We assume it's Kadei Sviya. I'm still full, so therefore I'm allowed to bench. After 72 minutes, you start getting hungry again. Okay. Us Americans, we get hungry after 20 minutes. But okay, the way it's supposed to be is, shear equal is 72 minutes, and therefore you're allowed to bench up to 72 minutes. Fine. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he wants to know, what is the mechayiv in Birchos Hamazon? Is the reason why I have to bench, is it because I ate? Sounds like a strange question. Is it because I ate, and therefore I have to bench, but I have up to 72 minutes to bench? Or is the mechayiv for the benching the fact that I'm full? So you'll say, what's the difference? It's the same thing. If it's within 72 minutes, I have to bench anyway. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, here's the suffix. You have a child on the night of his bar mitzvah. So he eats 5 minutes before shkia, or he eats 20 minutes before the shkia, and now it becomes the shkia, now he becomes a gadol. But he already benched. He benched already. Right after he ate his sandwich at 7 o'clock at night, he benched. Now it's 60 minutes later, now he's a bar mitzvah. So what obligation does he have to bench? It's within the 72 minutes. So what's the mechayiv of benching? Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Is the mechayiv of benching that I'm full? And I'm still full. So therefore he says, if I'm full now as a gadol, so I have to bench again because the benching that I did as a katan is not able to take care of my chayiv as a gadol. Or says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that can't be. Should we assume that the mechayiv of benching is obviously the eating? And if when he ate, he was a katan, then as long as he benched while he was a katan, that's good enough as well. That's the suffix Rabbi Akiva Eiger has. I believe he ends off that shaila and he says, Sarachi in the Dina. He's not sure exactly what the halacha is. Very interesting question. I assume it doesn't come up that often. The night of a kid's bar mitzvah, he's probably, I don't know what he's doing. But this is the suffix Rabbi Akiva Eiger has. I remember Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has also, in a number of places, he has a discussion about a katan shehigdil, about different things. He says that what happens if you have a kid... If you have a kid, he says, who goes on a boat trip with his father. So what's the halacha? You go on a boat, you have to make a birchas hagomel, right? That's what it says, yard hayam. So he says, but while he's on the boat, he becomes a bar mitzvah. So as we know, he says, the Magen Avraham in Siman Reish Yutes says that a katan doesn't make a birchas hagomel, because how can he say hagomel l'chayavim tovas? I'm not, God shouldn't have punished me, I'm a katan. And hagomel l'chayavim can't be going on my parents, because that's a very disrespectful thing to say. I stand up and I say, my father should have lost his life, because he's a big Rasha, but we're lucky that he didn't this time. So that's why the Magen Avraham says that a katan doesn't bench Birchas HaGomel. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wants to know, what if he goes on the boat trip? At the time that he's on the boat, he's a katan, but then while he's on the boat, he becomes a gadol. So now does it depend on when he left, when he comes? I don't know. This is the whole discussion that the Acharonim have. But they bring it up here as well when it comes to Tisha B'Av Shenidche, like this year. So what happens? You have a child who becomes bar mitzvah on Sunday morning, Matzoi Shabbos. So does he have to fast Tisha B'Av or not? What would you say? Well, it depends. It depends. If Sunday is the real day of Tisha B'Av this year, and we say, on years when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, we actually observe it on Sunday because that is the real day. After all, the Gemara that we started off with says that really we should have observed the entire Tisha B'Av on the 10th day because that's really when most of the Beis HaMikdash was burning down. So if that's what you believe, that this year we move the date over to Sunday, well, then the katan who becomes a gadol on Sunday has to fast. But if you believe that Sunday is just a makeup date for Shabbos, Sunday is just a tashlumin, so you weren't chayiv on Shabbos, you were a katan. So therefore the Avnei Nezer writes that maybe we should say a katan doesn't have the obligation to fast on Shabbos, and therefore he doesn't have an obligation to fast on Sunday because this is something that he was not obligated to do at all, so you don't need to do a tashlumin. Says the Avnei Nezer, this is really the machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah. This is what they're arguing about. Are we going to allow Tashmish Amita this Friday night or perhaps not? Says the Mechaber, absolutely, it's mutter. Why? Because it's not Tisha B'Av. This Shabbos is a regular Shabbos, it's not Tisha B'Av, and therefore you have nothing to be concerned about on Shabbos. Don't worry about it. Everything's mutter. And the Ramah says, no, the real day of Tisha B'Av is Shabbos. Happens to be we observe most of the Nehugei Avelis on Sunday, And therefore the Rama says, Tashma Shamita, which is the Dvarm Shabbatzina, we would say, generally applies on Friday night this week, because after all it is Tisha B'Av. So based on that logic, we would say this should be the same issue when it comes to a Katan Shehigdil in the interim. Should we say that Sunday is the makeup date for Shabbos, and therefore if he was a Katan on Shabbos, he doesn't have to fast Sunday either? Or do you say that no, Sunday is the real day this year, and therefore if he becomes a Gadol on Sunday, he has an obligation to fast just like every other Gadol? That is the discussion that many have. I did make a mistake the other day. Somebody asked me a question and I said the wrong thing, so I just want to clarify that. Somebody asked me, since Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos this year and we observe it on Sunday, so in a normal year we assume, the Mechaber writes, if you turn to the second side of the page, the Mechaber writes in number Yud, Minig kasher shelo lechol basar v'shelo lishtos yayin b'leil asiri v'yom ha'asiri. Says the Mechaber, we have a minog that on a regular year, after Tisha B'Av is over, we continue to observe the Nihuge Avelus of the 9 days on Matzoi Tisha B'Av as well. So we assume you're not supposed to eat meat and drink wine and listen to music on Matzoi Tisha B'Av. You're supposed to wait until the afternoon of the 10th, until Chatzos. That's what the Mechaber and the Rama say. So the question was, this year, now that it's already at the end of the 10th day by the time it's Sunday night, so do we have any of these restrictions? So he asked me, is he allowed to eat fleishigs on Sunday evening to break his fast or not? Now, most people don't like to do that anyway, but this person did want to do that. So the question is, are you allowed to do that or not? So the Mishnah Berurah writes that, I'm sorry, the Rama writes over here that you shouldn't eat meat and you shouldn't drink wine until Monday. That's what he writes. You shouldn't eat meat and you shouldn't drink wine at night. Why? Because we were just being Noi Gavelis the whole day. It would be a little bit inappropriate if immediately after the fast you're going to turn around and start having a big meal with Basar V'Yayin. That's what the Rama says. You should abstain from Basar V'Yayin. But the Shari Tshuva and the Mishnah Berurah write that it's true. You should abstain from Basar V'Yayin, but none of the other restrictions apply. And therefore they say you're allowed to take a haircut on Matzoi Tisha B'Av this year on Sunday night. You're allowed to take a haircut. You're allowed to do the laundry. And everything else would be permissible. The only thing that we would feel is highly inappropriate is if a person would be indulging in Basar V'Yayin right after you finish the Tainus, that would be something that would be a little bit uncomfortable, and therefore the Rama says it's something that we should stay away from doing. And we hope and we pray that, like the Navi says, Yu l'sasana l'simcha, all of these taniyos that we observe in commemoration of the Churban Beis Hamikdash should at some point in our days become days of celebration and no longer days of yagon va'anacha. Okay, so I'm here to